This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is, Believe in the Lord your God.
If you think about the names of God, He shows us how to call upon Him. For example, when you have an illness in your body and you need to call on God, to put your trust in God, you can call on Him as Jehovah Rapha. Hallelujah. Jehovah God, the Lord, my healer. You get down on your knees and say, God, I'm calling you Jehovah Rapha. That's how you named yourself. I'm coming to you on the basis that you are my healer. And Lord, hallelujah, I'm putting my whole trust in you. Praise God. Or perhaps you're facing a financial crisis. Then you can call upon God as Jehovah Jireh. Praise God. Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides for me in any circumstance. It says, my God shall supply all of my need. How? According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Praise God. Perhaps there's confusion and strife going on in your family or on the job or even in the church. Amen. You can call on God as Jehovah Shalom, the God who is our peace. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord who said he would keep us in perfect peace if we would keep our minds stayed on him. Or maybe all of that's true. Things are just totally out of control in your life. Then you can call on God as Jehovah Ra'ah, the Lord our shepherd. Hallelujah. You remember the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. What? I shall not want. That means there won't be anything that I'm missing in my life. Nothing that I need in my life for me to have the kind of life God intends for me to have. You see, the first thing we need to do is to not worry about the problem, but get down on our knees and seek the face of God to be our deliverer in that situation. Here's the second thing. Not only did they seek God, they waited on him for an answer. Look again at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. Oh man, I love this verse because it expresses what we need to do and maybe don't do so much of the time. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? Catch it. Look at this. For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. The first thing, they acknowledged that they were powerless to handle it themselves. We need to know that we can't handle the situations, the battles of our lives on our own. Amen? You know, I have to say this. This is another man thing here. Amen. Men, don't we hate to acknowledge when we can't handle stuff? Amen. I got all the amens from the ladies. Let me just ask a simple question. Men, how many of you would rather drive around for a half hour than go into a filling station and ask for directions? Come on, let me see how honest you are. Amen. Amen. You see, we want to handle it ourselves, amen? We don't want to have to feel like I got to go get somebody's help. But let me tell you something. If you ever think you can handle what life is going to throw at you on your own, you are mistaken. You need help, brother. And the one who can give it to you is El Shaddai, the all-powerful one who can handle any situation in life. We need to go to God and wait on him for an answer to our situation. Look at that verse again. Oh God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but what? Our eyes are on you. Isn't that great? You see, that's where our whole focus needs to be. When we're facing a battle in our life, what does the devil try to do? He tries to get us focused on the situation, focused on the threat, focused on what people are trying to do to us, focused on the fact that they're talking layoffs down at the job, focused on that report that the doctor gave us that doesn't sound good, focused on what's happening at home. Oh, I don't even want to go home. It's so bad. When I walk in the door, it's strife and arguments. He wants to keep our attention focused on the mess. Jehoshaphat got his attention off of the mess and said, God, our eyes are on you. We need to keep our eyes on him. Amen? Amen. Focus in on God. And when we do that, God says he will give us the answer to our situation. Go over to James chapter 1. Look at verse 5. Here's a promise that you can lay hold on when you are facing a battle in your life. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you. You see, if you need wisdom to know how to handle the situations that you are facing in life, to know how to fight the battle that has to be fought in order for you to be successful in life. If you need wisdom, God has promised to give you the wisdom that you need. But catch it. Number one, you need to be diligent about going to his word. Amen? You see, in Jehoshaphat's day, God anointed a prophet and spoke to them through that prophet. Well, today, God still has prophets, but mostly he will speak to us how? Through the word of God. You see, God has in this word answers to any situation you are going to face in life. There is a principle or there is a commandment in the word of God to cover any situation that you're going to have to deal with. And so the first thing that we need to do when we come to seek the face of God and we begin to ask him for an answer to our circumstance, we need to begin to search his word. God, where have you given the answer that I need to have? You know, how many of you ever ask advice from a friend, from somebody else? Let me just see. Amen. Now, let me give you some advice on how to ask advice. Amen. Don't go to your friend and say, what do you think about this? You go to your friend and you ask this question. Do you know what the Bible says about this? Because what? Let me tell you something. As pastor of this church, Priscilla and I will often have people in our office and we're counseling and we're giving them counsel. Amen. And can I tell you something? Remember 2 weeks ago, the message was, listen to the man. And in this place, who is the man? I'm the man. All right. Amen. When we give counsel, it's good counsel. If you follow the counsel we give, you will prosper. Cause what? Cause I'm the man? No. Cause the counsel we give comes from the word of God. You will never come in my office and hear me say, I think. What you will hear me say is the word of God says, and this is how you need to apply it to your life. Amen. You see, that's where all the wisdom is. That's where all the power is. It's in the word of God. And when you get that word on your situation, God will give you the direction that you need to have. So number one, you need to go to the word. If you don't know the word for yourself, ask somebody. What do you know that the Bible says about this? If you don't have a friend that can answer that, pick up the phone and call me. Now, let me just warn you, what I will do is I will help you to learn how to find the answer for yourself. Amen? Because I don't want to be answering your questions for the next 15 years. Praise God. So I will teach you how to find the answer for yourself. But the point is, you will get what the word of God has to say about the issue that you're dealing with. Here's the second thing you need to do. Go over to Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to wait on the Lord. Amen. You come and you start seeking the face of God. You start even searching the Word of God. But you know, let me take another loophole here. How many people would admit to being impatient? You lack the patience that you need. Oh my goodness, praise God. I can see another sermon series coming on patience. Amen. Amen. Catch it. One of the easiest ways as a Christian to get yourself into trouble is to go ahead and do something before God tells you what to do. Because we look at the situation, we look at the circumstance, oh, this has got to be dealt with, this has got to be taken care of. Oh, the bill is due on Tuesday and it's Thursday of the week before and I don't have anything and oh, I got to do something. How many of you know that God can send you what you need at 3:30 in the morning on Tuesday morning of the day that it's needed? Amen? And you never saw it coming. And we get so upset, so afraid that we get out and we start trying to do something for ourselves before we hear from God what it is that God wants us to do. You need to wait on God sometimes. Let me just be honest with you. I've gotten into some messes in my life. I know that's hard to believe, but I have gotten into some messes in my life. And usually the way that it's happened is I pray, I even search the Word, but before I really hear from God, I go and take the best option available and go off and do it. Now, how many of you know that my best option is not necessarily God's best option? Amen? And so what they did so wisely was they waited for God to give them the answer that they needed. Now, let me tell you a trap that you can fall into. I so often hear Christians do this, and I have to be honest with you. I've done it myself. You say to God something like this. Well, Lord, here's what I think I need to do. I'm going to go ahead and do it. But Lord, if you don't want me to do it, please stop me. Anybody ever been there? Mm-hmm. Amen. And you know what often happens when you go that route? 2 or 3 weeks later, you're going, oh, God, why didn't you stop me from doing that? No. God says what? Wait. Wait on him. Put your faith in him. Put your trust in him that God will come through. He will give you an answer. And if you don't yet know what God is saying to do, you just keep on doing what God has already told you to do. Here's the third thing they did. Number three, go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Look at verse 16. Tomorrow, this is what God commanded them to do. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Look at verse 20 of 2 Chronicles 20. So they rose early in the morning and went to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. Here's what I want you to see. In verse 16, God commanded them, go down against them tomorrow. And so on tomorrow, what happened? Verse 20, so they rose early in the morning and went. In other words, here's the number three, the third thing that they did. Now, after they sought the face of God and after they waited on him to hear a word from God through the Bible or however God gave them that word, they obeyed what God told them to do. You've got to make up your mind to obey what God tells you, or none of this will do you any good. You know, there are many people who say, I believe in God, and then ignore what God says. And that is not belief. Amen? Can I give you an analogy? Believing God but ignoring Him. Think about this. God is like a 900-pound gorilla in your living room. How many of you think you could ignore a 900-pound gorilla running around your living room? Amen? If he's there, what? You got to take account of him. Amen? You got to deal with him. Catch it. If you really believe in God, you see him like a 900-pound gorilla in your life. Now, I mean that in a good sense. The point is, you can't ignore him. If you really believe in him, you can't ignore him. You can't just give him lip service and say, oh, Lord, I believe you, but I'm going to go do what I think I need to do. You have to make up your mind to be obedient to what God tells you to do. Young lady, you fervently desire to get married. And you can hear that little biological clock ticking. Amen. And you look around at the men you know, and the only ones that look sharp, dress good, put on a little cologne every once in a while, drive a good car, and even know how to treat a lady. Only problem is they live a totally ungodly lifestyle. Amen? You got to make up your mind. Are you willing to trust God with your future? Are you willing to trust God that if He has somebody for you, He's got somebody for you? Now, can I just divert another time? How many people does God allow you to be married to at one time?
One.
One. Amen? So if you are single and you look around and say, I don't see any good man, what do you need to remember? It only takes one. Amen? It only takes one. And God can bring you the one if you will wait on Him. You're in financial hard times. And it seems wise for you to hold on to every penny you've got. And yet God says that it give and it will be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. What are you going to do? You're going to do what seems wise in your own eyes? Or are you going to do what God commands, the way that He says He will bless you? Or catch this. Your husband or your wife has done something that infuriates you. And what really infuriates you is this is about the third time this week they've done the same thing. And you are tired of it. And you are ready to tear them down verbally. They deserve it. God says, bless and don't curse. Pray for them and lift them up and bless them. And you look at them and say, oh, Lord, they don't deserve to be blessed. Oh, Lord, if I give them a nice word instead of a hard word, Lord, they'll just keep on doing what they're doing. And I can't stand it, Lord. Are you going to obey God? Or are you going to do what seems to be best to your own mind? You see, catch it. There is no way that you can be in position for God to fight your battle unless you are willing to obey God and go where He tells you to go and do what He tells you to do. Otherwise, God will be ready to fight the battle, but you'll be someplace else. Amen? And that all comes from the determination, from the commitment to obey the word of God. Number four, here's the fourth thing they did. They focused on God instead of on their situation. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, look at verse 21. This is King Jehoshaphat. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, don't you just love this? Here they are facing the biggest army ever to come against them. They're about to be wiped off the face of the earth, and they got to send out an army to be ready to fight the battle. And so what does King Jehoshaphat do? He says, Rebecca, Tony, and Jackie, come on, praise team. You go out front. We're going out to fight the war, so praise team, you get in front. And what are they saying? Oh, we didn't sign up for this. Lord, we just signed up to sing. But what's he doing? He is keeping the focus not on the enemy, not on the battle, but what? On God. singing the praises of God, singing how good God is, singing the majesty of God. One of the things that the scripture, a word that the scripture uses when it talks about glorifying God, it says to magnify him, to magnify his name. Psalm 34:3 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Psalm 69:30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. What does that mean? Instead of magnifying the situation, what? We need to magnify God. You ever look through some binoculars? Amen. If you look through a pair of strong binoculars, whatever you're looking at, it fills your whole vision, doesn't it? And that's what the word is telling us to do. Instead of looking at your situation, the more you look at it, the bigger it gets. You turn your attention and look up to God. Hallelujah. Magnify him. Because you need a big God, don't you? Amen. Guess what? God is as big as he needs to be to fight your battle. Amen. And so King Jehoshaphat led the way with praise. Catch it. I asked before, how many of us have battles that need to be fought in our lives? If you are fighting a battle in your life today, you know what you need to do? You need to start your day with praise. You need to start off, God, I praise you. I praise you that you are at work in my life right now. Hallelujah. Lord, even as I go through the circumstance I'm going through, I know you are there with me on my side. I know that you have already made a way of escape for me, that I may be able to come successfully through this circumstance. I know that you have promised that you will be with me as I have to deal with the issues of the day, and you will be there to give me the strength. You will be there to give me the wisdom and the understanding that I need. Oh, Lord, I praise you for that. Hallelujah. I praise you that you're a good God and you never fall down on the job. I praise you that you have all strength and majesty and power in your hands. You need to start your day that way. And when you start that your day that way and you get to work and you start trying to deal with that little problem, guess what? You know it is a little problem. Amen? Because your God is so big. Here's the fifth thing. Expect God to fight the battle in a totally unexpected way. That bit about putting the praise team out front. How many of you would have thought of that? Now, God fought that battle in a totally unexpected way. Look at verse 22 of 2 Chronicles 20. Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Do you see it? When they started to praise and worship the Lord, that's when God caused ambushes to be set among the enemy so that the enemy killed themselves. You never could have seen it coming. I share with you many times my story of going from Canada to Mexico. Mission trip one summer, and I had gone to Canada, and I hitched a ride with some people from Colorado, and I got to Canada to where our conference was being held, and then I had to get to Mexico. But in order to go, you needed to have support money come in. I had no money. That's why I hitched a ride. Amen. I had absolutely no money, but I was sure that God had said, I'm supposed to go on this mission trip. And so on faith, by faith, I went. I got to Canada, and they had a nice computer printout of everybody's support contributions that had come in. And so the first day I'm there, they open up the computer printout and look at the report, and by my name, it says 0.00. And then it's Tuesday of that week, and it's still 0.00. And catch, here's what I had done, and here's what I expected to happen. Before I went, the mission that I was working with said, now you don't go and ask anybody to give you money. But what you do is you ask them, you tell them what you're doing, and you ask them to pray. And God will move on their hearts, move on people's hearts to support you. So I went to my church. Pastor, can I share with the congregation? Yes, go ahead. Well, I shared with the congregation. Oh, they were all enthusiastic. Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. We will pray for you. Hallelujah.
I'm sure they prayed for me, but they did not contribute a dime. Amen. And so there I am in Canada. I can't even get back to Colorado because I don't have any money. But I still knew that God had said to come. And so I just stood on his word that whole week. Stood on his word. Monday went by, nothing. Tuesday went by, nothing. Wednesday comes. Now, my mom finally sent me something. And she was the only one, praise God. But you know what happened before that week was out? Those of you who've heard the story before, you know. God moved on the heart of somebody else who was at that conference to give up their support money so that somebody else who did not have support money could go. And this person, all I knew is they said she, so I know it was a woman, said that she now was trusting God for her own money to go. And I'm sure God came through for her. The thing I want you to see is this. I had no idea how God was going to do this. What I expected was that God's going to move on the hearts of the people in my church and they are going to send me money. Amen? It didn't work that way. How many times do you have an expectation of how God's going to solve your problem? And when you don't see it beginning to work out that way, you start to getting discouraged. Amen? Catch it. God, can I tell you something that I believe about God? I believe God is very deliberate. When he knows you expect him to move a certain way, he deliberately goes a different way. Amen. Because he wants you to learn to put your full trust in him, whether you can see what he's doing or not. And so God worked it out so that my need was met in a way that I never could have anticipated. Look, if you don't see God moving the way you expect him to be moving in your life right now, don't get discouraged. He has a plan, praise God. And he'll bring it in a way that you never could have anticipated. Here's the bottom line. To believe in God means to believe that he has the ability and the willingness to do what he promised to do for you. It means to be willing to put your total trust in him, to relax in God's arms. Amen? To say, God, I'm asking you to deal with my situation, to fight my battle for me, and I'm going to trust you. I'm going to be obedient to your word. I'm going to do what you told me to do. And God, I know that you will come through for me. And then don't get antsy. If the bill is due Tuesday and it's Monday night, don't get antsy. God still knows how to bring you through. Amen? That's what it means to believe in God. And when we believe in him that way, so that we are put our whole weight on him, so that we will trust him with everything that we've got, God says, I will come through for you. I will fight the battle for you. And when God fights the battle, you will be victorious.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcomchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin. inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.